Defiance and defiance residuals are concepts that are commonly used in GLMs. And let's take a look at what the defiance tells us and what defiance residuals are. So defiance residuals are calculated based on the individual observation log likelihoods. The defiance residual is minus 2 times the log likelihood, and then we take a square root. That defiance residual has some interesting properties that are parallel to the residuals in a normal regression analysis. The square defiance residual is here, and the sum of squared defiance residuals is the full defiance of the sample. The full defiance is minus 2 times the log likelihood. So the parallel to regression analysis is that maximizing the log likelihood is the same thing as minimizing the overall defiance, which is the sum of squares of residual defiance residuals. So GLM estimation, maximum likelihood estimation, is equivalent to calculating the least squares of defiance residuals. So there is an interesting parallel. There are also some other interesting parallels that I will explain in the next few slides. When you do a GLM, you will get statistics about defiance residuals and the overall defiance, as shown here. So we have residual statistics. These are about defiance residuals, and these model quality indices are about defiance, overall defiance of the model. Let's take a look at the residual statistics first. The residual statistics here give us the quartiles, minimum, maximum, and median of the residuals. The defiance residuals, if the model is correctly specified, so the distribution is correct and the linear prediction is correct, they are normally distributed in large samples. The defiance residual is also, or the square of defiance residual also quantifies how much each observation contributes to the actual likelihood value. So they can be used as influence statistics, similarly to residual in R-square. So one way of doing diagnostics to GLMs is that when you have a large sample, you can check which observations have a large defiance residual and whether the defiance residuals are normally distributed or not. Then we have the overall model defiance here in the model quality indices. We have two deviances, and the null deviance and the residual deviance, and then we have a statistic called AIC. The null deviance is a deviance for a model with intercept only. So a model where none of the explanatory variables explain the dependent variable at all. So here we have 3,970 degrees of freedom for the null deviance. Then the deviance for the estimated model is the residual deviance. We have 3,916, so we lost 1 degree of freedom because we had one independent variable, and this is the overall deviance, which is minus 2 times the log likelihood. So minus 2 times log, if we multiply this by minus half, then that's the value of the log likelihood that the computer actually minimizes when it estimates the model. Then AIC is similar to adjusted R-square, so that it can be used for model comparison. So it penalizes the deviance for the complexity of the model. We subtract the number of parameters divided by 2 from the deviance that gives us AIC. And AIC can be used for comparing two models that are not nested when they are fitted to the same data. The AIC itself, the value, whether it's large or not, it doesn't really have any interpretation. We can just use to compare AICs, and if deviance is smaller, it means that the model fits the model explains the data better, and that means that if AIC is smaller, then the model fits better. So we can use AIC for comparing which model we use. For example, if we have two models that have different sets of variables that are non-nested, then we could use AIC to compare which of those models is better for the data.